The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who had shepherded me all my life long unto this day, and the angel who hath redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. So here is a verse that is so important because among those whom the angel of the Lord visited, Jacob was one that he visited in a dream. Now, what I will do is to show you, first of all, now in Genesis chapter 16, let's look there, Genesis 16, because as we read some of these verses, notice the variety of those whom the angel of the Lord visits. And let me tell you this, I'll tell you some things as they come to mind as we go along. What is so difficult is that looking up all of these references, at times it would simply say, an angel of the Lord, so and so. But then, if you read the whole account, finally it would say, the angel of the Lord. So there is a distinction. Unless it is definitely the angel of the Lord, then it is not the same person. There is one named Gabriel, there is one named Michael, and they are angels of the Lord, but they are not the angel of the Lord. This one of whom I tell you tonight is the angel of the Lord, to the exclusion of all others. And so in chapter 16 of Genesis, let's look and see something of interest here. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord, and this is really the angel of Jehovah or the angel of Yahweh, the angel of the Lord found her, that is Hagar, by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said unto Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, whence camest thou, and whither goest thou? And she said, I am fleeing from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, now listen, I will greatly multiply thy seed, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son. As you read all of these references, your mind will go to the New Testament, where words similar to these were spoken. But please notice, first of all, that this is the angel of the Lord, but he's more than an angel, because he does not say that God will do these things, but he said, I will greatly multiply thy seed, that it be not numbered, and so forth. All right, let's look at another one in chapter 3 of Exodus. Exodus 3. And look at verse 2. Moses is feeding his father-in-law's sheep, and it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto it in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And you'll find out that they are not distinct persons here, several, but it is the same person spoken of in various ways. Now, let's look in Judges chapter 13. Look at verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, this is Manoah's wife, and said unto her, behold, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And the angel of the Lord talks to her. And then she goes and she tells her husband. And so look at verse 9. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. And so here is this angel of God again. And now look at verse 15. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee, that we make ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain thee, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou make ready a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? And when thy words come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore askest thou after my name, seeing it is wonderful? And you remember of whom this speaks in Isaiah 9? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is one of the hints. Now, look in 2 Kings, verse 1. No, that isn't necessary. We can skip that verse. But look in chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. And we'll try to put these things together when we read some of the verses. 2 Kings 19 and look at verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. And Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. This is what Jacob said in Genesis chapter 48. And now, for the sake of time, look at Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Verse 8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. That's all that we'll read for now. Let's speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that even though your word is truth, and the entrance of thy word giveth light, let us know that just as when your Son was on earth and spoke to the disciples, he who came to reveal you to men, they would say, we do not know what you're talking about. We do not understand what you're talking about. We're thankful, our Father, that you have given us these truths, and we trust that by meditation and the beseeching of thee to illumine us, that we shall be able to understand. And so from all these scriptures that we've read tonight, by thy grace, illumine and help and put them together, and let us have somewhat of an understanding of this angel of the Lord. We thank you for the blessings of the day, and we look to thee for good this night. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. The reason that tonight, from the Old Testament, I'm bringing you these references to the angel of the Lord, it's because the angel of the Lord is continually visiting certain ones in the Bible. And I told you that the subject had been visitation. Visitation of relatives and visitations with Jesus. And what I had tried to ascertain is, who is this person who is doing all the visiting in the Old Testament? I told you that there are over 30 references to where this angel of the Lord comes and makes visits and makes speeches and explanations, the different ones throughout the Old Testament. Note that he appears in the first book of the Bible and be read in the next to the last book of our Bible. You have this angel of the Lord. But what is the clue is this, that immediately when you depart from the Old Testament, you never read of the angel of the Lord again. Now why would that be? He sends angels, you remember. He sent Gabriel to Zechariah and to Mary. And he says this concerning us. Are not angels all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the heirs of salvation? And he has angels for us, but you do not find the angel of the Lord in the New Testament. And that's a remarkable thing. And when you look at it, you are confused because you're reading about the angel of the Lord, and then this angel of the Lord says, by myself have I sworn. He speaks as the Lord. And so here is one who is identical, but at the same time, who is distinct, and whom God says, my name is in him. And unless we had read the New Testament and the light that God has given us there, we would have no concept. I wonder what an Orthodox Jew would say concerning these things. But you find out that this angel of the Lord is deity because he accepts worship and he says that his name is wonderful and he assumes authority and makes pronouncement himself that only God could pronounce. And you and I say, well, it must be that one of whom we read in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then that makes sense, if this is the Lord Jesus. But here is what I must confess, and you must acknowledge, that when God tells us everything about the incarnate Son, his being God manifest in the flesh, you still are not able to fully comprehend the Lord Jesus. And when you learn that there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you know that from the Scripture, you still are not able to understand it. It is simply God is telling us about himself, and we accept it not being able to understand. Just as in the Old Testament, when Moses wanted to see God, God said, no man can see me and live. But God shows as much of himself as he can to his creature, and then, having shown man that, it speaks as if Moses had talked to God face to face. And yet you read, and it says that God turned his back, and Moses only saw the back of God. And yet God says, I'm going to call that talking mouth to mouth, face to face. So I tell you that once you read everything about this angel of the Lord, and about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you still will never be able to understand. It's like this. I've never been able to understand it concerning the nature of the Lord Jesus, both divine and human, in one person. The lips of the Lord Jesus had a beginning when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And yet with those lips, a man's lips, he says in John 17, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And our Savior was not in existence before the world was as Jesus. And yet it is Jesus' lips speaking those words. And so I simply tell you this, that you will find out that our Savior is the God-man, and you acknowledge him as such, and you worship him as such. And that's why I had it read in Hebrews chapter 1. Let all the angels of God worship him. Why? Because he is God. That's why. And the other portions, things that are attributed to the Son, just as things that are attributed to this angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, they are only attributes that can be true of God, the Supreme Being. And so, from all that I've read and the way that it's described, I suggest that this is a beginning of a manifestation in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord, the way that he shall manifest himself in the New Testament as God manifests in the flesh. It speaks in John chapter 1, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath led him forth. He hath declared him." In the New Testament, he did that. And you'll find in the Old Testament, this angel of the Lord is doing that. And so you get a preview in this angelic appearance as to what is going to happen when the Word becomes flesh and tabernacled among us. And I take it that this is our Savior, and it's called the angel of the Lord. You remember I told you that the word Malach is a messenger of the Lord, and in John chapter 1, the Lord Jesus is the messenger of God, the Word of God, and in the Old Testament, he is leading forth God and telling men about God, and in the New Testament, as the Son, he comes and he describes and brings forth God and declares him as well. All right. Now I want to tell you a little bit about visitation, because I did not tell you just what the word was most of the time when you find the word visit, but it is the word episkeptomai. And what is so strange is that there is nothing in that word episkeptomai that you would translate visit until you think of it this way. It literally means to look over a situation. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever heard this expression? Look, when you go into town, look in to see if my mother is well. Look in to see. That means to visit. And you'll find that visitation in the Bible is a visiting with a view to receiving or receiving from God some good thing. A visiting to receive or to do something good. And that's what it means when it says in James chapter 1, "Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction." And so if you visit them with a view to doing something for them in their affliction. And also, when you visit, you look in on a person to see the situation, the checkup on how things are going. And that is what it says concerning Moses, that when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his people. He was going to look in on his people and see what was happening. And what is so remarkable is that the things that the angel of the Lord does in the Old Testament in visiting are so similar to the things that the Lord Jesus did in the New Testament when he visited. Except for this, there is one distinction, and it's a distinction that is most significant. If you read the whole life of Christ, tell me one individual, one human being, that he ever harmed. The only thing that he ever injured was the fig tree, the cursing of the fig tree. On an occasion, when he exorcised those demons from Legion, they entered the swine, and the swine perished in the waters. But the Lord Jesus did not do that. The demons did it in those swine. But in the Old Testament, you'll find that the angel of the Lord is one who comes with mercy, and he comes also with judgment. And that is why I read to you that in the day of Hezekiah, when Rabshakeh and Sennacherib and all of those that were fighting against Hezekiah, when they threatened him, God sent the angel of the Lord, and he destroyed 185,000 of the enemies of God. And so this is the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament. You'll find out that he is the executioner of the will of God, whether it be good or bad. But when the Lord Jesus comes in the New Testament, it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So there is that difference, that the Savior in the New Testament has power to do things, but he does not. Do you remember that when the Savior was going through Samaria, and they did not allow him to go through, they were hostile to him, the sons of thunder said, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them as Elijah did?" And the Lord Jesus said, "You know not what spirit you are of." The Lord Jesus never harmed any man. He came not to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. He came not to judge men, but to bring salvation. And so that is the difference between the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament when he visited and the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. When our Savior visits, it's always for something good. But in the Old Testament, it can be for good or bad. And the sad thing is this. I could rejoice if the enemies of the people of God deserved punishment and the angel came and punished them. But the same angel that killed 185,000 of the enemies of Israel, when David numbered Israel, it says that the angel of the Lord from Dan to Beersheba destroyed 70,000 of the children of Israel. So it was not only a ministry, a visitation of mercy, but it was a ministration of judgment as well. But let's think of another similarity. I told you this morning that our Savior made no distinction between those that were in need. Here are fishermen wanting to know where Jesus lived, and he said, "Come and see." And he invites them home. And here is Nicodemus, the teacher in Israel. Here is Zacchaeus, a great variety of those that the Lord Jesus visits. And he always visits them for good. And in the Old Testament, it's the same way. Isn't it remarkable that in the Old Testament, the first time you ever read about the angel of the Lord is when he is gone to visit a lowly Egyptian slave because she's been mistreated by her mistress. Here is Hagar, an Egyptian. And Sarah, when she told Abraham to go and know Hagar that she might obtain children by her, and Hagar found out she was going to have a child, she was proud against her mistress, and Sarai dealt hardly with her, and so she fled. And it says that the angel of the Lord found her, and he spoke comfort to her, and he made great promises to her concerning Ishmael. And he appeared to her twice. He appeared to her in 16 and then in 21. Because in the first place, she acted badly in her pride toward her mistress. And then, when Ishmael was born, he acted proudly and he mocked his half-brother Isaac on a certain day. And so then, she was driven out. And God said, "Drive them out." And yet, when they are driven out, and it seems as if Ishmael is going to die, it says the angel of the Lord comes and visits them and makes great promises concerning them and tells that Ishmael shall turn out to be a great nation. So here are similarities. Here is an individual that is lowly, that is a slave, that is a foreigner, and yet the angel of the Lord comes and visits her. And here is another instance that is just as strange as the angel of the Lord visiting Hagar. And that is when Balaam, and here is another man that is incomprehensible, how this man Balaam, who is a false prophet, is able to go at night and somehow lay hold on God and have God speaking with him. And he gets this message from God, but in brief, he is doing what the Lord did not want him to do, and he's riding his donkey, and as he does, it says, the angel of the Lord appears before him. Now, how is that? How many of you have ever seen the angel of the Lord, have been visited by this messenger of God, or any angel for that matter? And yet, here is this lowly Egyptian woman, and the angel of the Lord visits her, and here is Balaam, this false prophet that's disobeying God, and the angel of the Lord comes and seeks to keep him, turn him from his way of destruction. So in the Old Testament, you find him visiting all these different people, and you find him sent forth with different missions, because he is the angel of the Lord. Now, I was thinking of this also, that when Manoah is talking to him and he asks, "What is your name?" Another person asks concerning a name, and here is something that will help us to understand about angels. When they appear to men, most of the time they appear as men. And we're only told that Jacob is wrestling with a man all night long until the man reaches forth and touches the hollow of his thigh. And we're not told that this is an angel. But you read in Hosea that he was wrestling with an angel. So most of the time, when they appear as men, and at times, we're not even later told that they're angels. It simply says they're men. But you look at them, and then you understand that they are angels that appear in the form of men. And here is what is so humbling to think, that this angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, who came to the rescue and assistance of the children of God when they were in need, because I take it that both in Daniel 3 and in Daniel 6, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saved from the fiery furnace, it says that the king looked in and he saw a fourth one in the furnace with them, like unto the gods. And I take that to be this angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find in Daniel 6 that when Daniel says that God hath sent his angel and hath shut the mouths of the lions, here is this angel of God that is coming and doing good and protecting his people. So now, think of how it was done in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him and delivereth them. And so this was a promise of God to those that feared the Lord, but so often the angel did not appear when he encamped them. When he was there carrying out the will of God, man was not even aware that he was being assisted by God. It's like this. When the prophet had a young man with him, and he looked out and he saw that he was surrounded by a vast army, he came and told the prophet, "All these people are coming to destroy us." And the prophet Elisha told him, "Lord, open the eyes of this man that he might see." And when God opened his eyes, he saw a multitude of angels surrounding him as well. But they were there all along, but he did not know it. And had Elisha not requested God to open his eyes, then he would have been delivered, but never known what caused that deliverance. And in like manner, if this is so, and the promise is made in Hebrews chapter 1, that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the heirs of salvation, how many of you have ever seen an angel that has come to do anything for you? And yet, if this promise is true, there are angels that do things for us all the time. And it speaks about angels seeing the face of God. They always do behold the face of God. And so there is an invisible world, and things are done today, and they are not told us as they were told in the Old Testament. But now, the difference is this. In the Old Testament, it was the angel of the Lord that encamped round about. and the angels were sent to help, and even though they are spoken of as being our ministers today, yet it is the Lord Jesus now who takes the place of those angels, because our Savior said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And whereas Jacob could say, "The angel who hath preserved me from all evil," now we can say that the Lord Jesus has been with us our whole life long, and he has preserved us from evil. And one thing that is so humbling is this. Think. The Lord Jesus, who is this angel of the Lord, who if an enemy comes, he can destroy 185,000, who if judgment should fall upon the people of God, can afflict 70,000. And I did not tell you this, but in Exodus chapter 14, when Pharaoh was coming out to destroy the children of Israel, it says the angel of the Lord went on the front behind, and he stood between Pharaoh and his army and Israel. And so you have this angel of the Lord doing those things. This is his power to destroy. No one is his equal. But in the New Testament, here is this angel of the Lord who now, not as simply a messenger that assumes the form of a man, but he is one who has become man, who is God manifest in the flesh. And it says that after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Isn't that humiliating? That this one who ministered from the beginning unto the end now is upon the earth, and angelic beings are coming giving assistance to him. And he who is the equal of the Father, it says this, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat as it were great drops of blood, and it said, "Behold, an angel appeared from heaven, strengthening him." Well, these are some of the mysteries that he who himself helped in the Old Testament and visited in the Old Testament for good or for ill, now in the New Testament, he is visited by the angels of God, notice, to feed him, because I have no doubt that after not having eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, the angels came and ministered to him. They could give him something to eat. And also, however, angels are able, when our Jesus was weakened, it says this, quoting from the Psalm, "He weakened my strength in the way." And his strength that was weakened, it says an angel from heaven came and strengthened him. And so here is the one who is omnipotent, but he has become man. And he has allowed himself to be placed in this condition where angelic beings come and assist him. So our Savior, who his whole life long was visiting men, was visited by men for good, found himself in the place as well that he needed to be visited by angels. And so that's a little bit about this angel of the Lord. And so you think it through and see if you come to the same conclusions or similar ones that I did. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so thankful that things are going on around us of which we know nothing. You've told us to put on the whole armor of God that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. We've never seen the devil, Father. We've never seen an evil angel, and we've never seen a good angel. And yet things have happened in our lives, and we have wondered about their strangeness. But thou hast told us. Your Son has said, "I'm with you always." We thank you for that. We accept it. The promise has been made that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for us. We thank you for all of that. And we thank you for this phenomenon, our God, that he who was the angel of God became man, and angels came and ministered unto him. We thank you that we believe that there is the Father. We remember that the heavens were open, and a voice came from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit of God is above, descended from heaven, and abode upon him. And your Son said, baptizing them, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you've shown us all these things, how little we understand them, and so our Father, for this angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, and now, what is our portion in the New, we give thee thanks in his name. Amen.